was happening in your life at that time?
Well, it was December the 23rd, 1966, and I was in high school. And I might need to back up just a little bit before that, Stan. I was actually born in Dallas, Texas, under a different name than I am right now. My birth name was Gary Lynn Dobbins. And both my parents were alcoholics, and my father was a child abuser. He would take cigarettes and extinguish them between my legs just for the fun of seeing my reaction. And so I was literally, along with my little sister, when I was about 6 years of age, we were abandoned, and we were placed on the front steps of a porch of a family by the name of Wood. And this family went through all the legal process in the state of Texas, and the capital being Austin, to adopt us into their family, changing our name, and they granted unto us all of our needs were met, and many of our heart's desires were taken care of. And I can easily identify with Apostle Paul. You know, we said over in Romans 8:15 that we haven't received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but rather we received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And I looked up the word adoption, and it means being placed as a son into a family with all the rights and privileges of one bearing the family name. And the word Abba, Father is real intimate. It means daddy, daddy. And so in this environment, as I said, my little sister wasn't adopted with us, and we were taken on a regular basis to the Hillcrest Southern Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. And I heard a simple little gospel message that told me how much God loved me. And in simple childlike faith, Stan, I just responded, and I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And then my family had to move, because of economic reasons, to this town called Farmington, New Mexico. It borders on the four corners of Colorado, Utah, Arizona, and New Mexico. And my adopted father went there with some other people and actually helped build most of the Navajo reservation. And I was just a typical high school student. God had given me a talent, and I say this very humbly, but he had given me the ability to sing, and I felt like that I was going to use that talent for his glory in a capacity to sing his message. But my life was forever to change that evening about 10:35 p.m. My little sister and I were returning home from a high school reunion party that we had been attending, and she was singing Silent Night, Holy Night. And we were just looking forward to spending the next few days in the holiday season with our family. And I was just intrigued to listening to her, and all of a sudden, as she was singing, she stopped abruptly, and she just let out a blood-curdling scream. And I turned, and I looked at her face, and there was horror etched across it. And then there was just an explosion is the next thing I remember. Later, I would learn that my nose was literally tore off my face with the turn signal indicator. And we ran into the back of a 10-ton wrecker truck that was illegally parked on the edge of the highway. My little sister saw it in the headlights. She saw just a reflection of the bumper, and she attempted to warn me, but it was just too late. And it's just simply like running into the back of, head on into a brick wall. It just crushed my father's station wagon like an accordion. The first thing I remember, Stan, was that after this initial searing sharp pain in the lower portion of my facial features, I was relieved of all pain. I just arose above the top of the car, and my whole life passed before my eyes. And now I'm entering into a realm that I explain a little more in detail in the book. It's a realm called eternity. It's a realm God operates and functions in. with no limitations to time as we know it here upon this earth. When I see my whole life pass before my eyes, I mean, I just saw little incidences that had transpired up to that point. Like one time I was playing with matches in my dad's barn and burned the barn down, and the whipping he gave me as a result of it, and graduating from high school and just other things like that. Then I was just caught up in this swirling, massive, funnel-shaped cloud that began to grow wider and wider as I began to walk up this pathway that was much like walking on a modern airport in one of these walkways where you just kind of walk along and it helps you to move a little faster. All of a sudden, engulfed in this light that was like a golden, tranquil, peaceful experience. It was a light that wasn't blinding, just it enveloped me, circled me like a golden hue. Walking up this pathway, I just began to hear angels singing. Stan, being a music major at the time, this captured my attention. I just never heard singing like I heard that evening. I heard the maraud of angels beyond imagination begin to sing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And they were singing the Hallelujah chorus, and with this sound reverberating off the wall of my soul, I literally was taken up by the holy angels, and suddenly this cloud opened up, and I saw a gigantic golden satellite suspended in space that the Bible calls heaven. The first thing I remember was that I was at the bottom of this beautiful green grassy hill, and I began to walk upwards. And as I was walking, the grass came all the way through my feet. And I turned and looked, and there was no indentions where I had previously stepped. And then, Stan, and to the listeners, I'm looking at this magnificent structure that God chose to suspend in space, because there's just really no earthly foundation that could support anything of this magnitude. The first foundation was solid diamonds. The Bible calls it jasper. Jasper also stands for the glory of God. And the best way I can describe what I was looking at is like you're on a cold winter night, and you put the logs in the fire, and they begin to sparkle, and they begin to emit this different aura and different colors, and that's what I'm looking at. I read one time that a certified scientist put into his computer that it would take seven of this world's accumulative wealth just to garnish one of those foundational stones. Well, the first level is just solid jasper, solid diamonds. I mean, as the listeners are listening to this, think about wherever you're living right now, and if your home, the foundation was solid diamonds, you'd have to put up a 12-foot electric fence. You'd have to have some Doberman pinchers and hire some Kung Fu bodyguards to secure your safety. The next foundation, Stan, was sapphire, which was blue. Chalcedony is the third. That's a combination of gray, blue, and yellow. Emerald is green. Sardius is a pale blue. And let me just say that the colors are at least, without exaggeration, 1,000 times magnified the colors that we see here upon this earth. Sardius is blood red. Crystallite is purple and green. Beryl is bluish green. Topaz is pale green or golden. Serapis is mixed blue, green, and yellow. jacinth is a combination of red, violet, and yellow, and amaryllis is purple. And so just imagine a conglomeration of all those magnificent colors. And everything God does, he just exemplifies and magnifies it. And that's just the foundation of the city.
Now, Gary, I've got a question.
As I
read in Revelation, I've often thought, I mean, because as you're going through there, I thought, man, he's answering a lot of questions for me, because I've tried to research the colors of the different stones talked about in Revelation. And there's different colors. In other words, I don't have it in front of me, but like, say, chalcedony. One version might say, well, that's a red stone. Another one might say, well, it's kind of reddish gray. Other might say, well, no, it's blue. Others sometimes say, well, and I'm thinking, well, what color is it? And I thought, I wonder if heaven doesn't really look like a rainbow. So is it a version of colors going like, you know how the rainbow changes from one color slowly to the next one, to the next one, to the next one?
Absolutely, Stan.
Is it like a rainbow?
That's the best kind of description. It's a combination of those colors and how they, shift and change. When I later would see God's throne, which I'll talk about in a moment, when I actually got into the city.
So you're saying that the colors change within the foundations?
Or, yes,
in other words, they're constantly changing?
Constantly,
or is it
changing.
So is it like looking at a rainbow that's moving like it's alive, would you say?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's emanating, pulse. It's pulsating.
There's an energy coming from it. Would you say there's an energy that comes from it then?
Absolutely.
So it's like, see, the Bible says that the trees of the field will clap their hands.
Yes, sir.
Okay? And all of his creation sings to him. So
When I was actually in the city later on, I saw, the only way I can describe it that I tell people is I saw musical notes like you see on a score pad, and I saw these musical notes floating over the hills, and I saw that they would just go into people, and when they would enter into people, people would spontaneously burst out and begin to sing. I saw flowers that had faces on them. The grass, like I said, that I was standing on that came up through my feet literally was alive. If you step on grass out in my front yard here in Sugar Land, Texas, where I live, it will suppress it and push it down. This grass is just vibrant. Everything has energy. It has a pulsating of life.
So the foundations were actually alive, so to speak.
Absolutely.
Everything there was alive.
Everything in heaven has life. The faces on the flowers had faces.
And well, I know that the psalm says that all creation praises him.
Yes.
So everything in heaven and in earth is praising him.
Absolutely.
Now, right now, it's not praising him in earth the way he wants it to, but when he is in full control, when he has been crowned King of Kings,
yes,
Lord of Lords, all creation will praise him. I wonder,
yes, sir,
if that relates to the scripture that says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen. Even the rocks cry out and they sing. You know, people, I go at a real strong pace, and I'm real excited about visiting the cities with the Prophecy Club members and getting to meet them and tell this story. And people say to me sometimes, Stan, you need to slow down. Don't go at such a hectic pace. Relax. And my response is, I'm not going to let some tree outclap me. I'm not going to let some flower out-sing me.
Okay,
I'm going to praise him in the morning. I'm going to praise him in the
noontime.
Amen. Noontime.
He is worthy. He is worthy to receive praise, honor,
Amen,
and glory, and thanksgiving, and power, and might.
Yes.
And all in heaven will,
yes,
praise him, and all that's on earth and under the earth will praise him. Hallelujah. Anyway, let's go back to the foundation. Tell me more about the foundation. Now, when we say foundation, we think that that's the base that a big building is built on. Is this the base, or is this all of the building is all the foundation? I mean, explain what we're seeing.
Okay, this is it is laid out in a cube form. It's actually 2.7 cubic billion miles at its base of circumference. It's 780,000 stories high. Now, this is where the Bible talks about the 1,500 square miles. This is what this equates to. It's comfortable enough to support 100,000 million people, and that's more people than have ever lived on planet Earth at any one time, any one given time. But Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions."
Amen.
And if it were not so, I would have told you. And
before you get away from that.
Okay.
I got another question. I'm interested in this. I have lots of questions.
Okay.
Let's go back to that number. How many people would it hold?
Over 100,000 million people.
Okay, let's break that down. How many is that billion? Is that over 10 billion people?
Yes, sir.
Okay, they say that right now some 6 billion people are alive on the face of the earth. They also say that there are more people alive now than have lived since Adam. Now,
yes.
You know, that's a big wild guess, I realize that. But I think that's very interesting that they're estimating that some 12 billion people have lived on the earth, and you're telling me that there's room for about 10 billion of them in heaven. Did we get our numbers right?
That sounds right.
Sounds close anyway.
Pretty close, yes, sir.
Close for guesstimate, since only God knows, right?
Right, so, exactly.
So we're saying that there's plenty of room in heaven for those people that want to receive Jesus.
More than enough. One translation, Philip's translation of John 14, says there are many dwelling places. The Revised Standard Version says there's many rooms, and the Living Bible says there's many houses.
So how big would each room or how big would each house be?
Well, each house is different. I saw real big mansions, and I saw mansions. It's a city. We're going to be dwelling in this city, and there are different levels, as I've said.
Wherein dwelleth righteousness.
Right. Absolutely.
Hallelujah. I look forward to it.
I can hardly wait myself. There are over, Stan, 3,000 streets per level, and there are 6,750,000 miles of road up there, and it's solid gold. You know, all my life I heard preachers say that the streets were paved with gold. It's not paved with gold.
It is
pure,
gold.
Solid gold.
And pure gold is clear, right?
And I had a scientist in Florida tell me that gold in its purest refined form is crystal clear. And when that impurity in gold that we usually wear on our finger that's yellow is removed, then gold becomes crystal clear.
Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that amazing? So I literally, and here's what I always tell the audiences when I have the opportunity to minister. The wonderful thing is the ladies that are listening right now, you're not going to be wearing it on your finger or around your neck. You're going to be walking on it.
Hallelujah.
And the kicker, Stan, is that we men don't have to foot the bill. Our Heavenly Father has provided it for us, and it's beautiful beyond imagination.
Okay, 3,000 streets. Now, did you see those streets, or is that just sent to you something you sense?
I just saw the levels, the different levels, and I was able to walk down one street, and on either side, as the Bible depicts and talks about in Revelation, there are trees, and these trees bear 12 different types of fruit. Now, when you eat that fruit, I've had to be careful when I've said this, and I'll have to be careful when I say it now because people don't understand, but literally, that fruit comes inside of you, and you become what that fruit represents. Now, I used to say you eat the fruit, and then people thought that maybe I thought, you know, you were saying that you become fruity. But it's like when you eat that fruit off this tree, things that you didn't know before and you couldn't understand suddenly just explode. You have knowledge that you were not capable of understanding before.
Well, I remember in the fourth grade they said, well, what you want, Mr. Stan Johnson, is for me to just open up the top of your head and pour the knowledge in.
That's it.
We're getting pretty close to that then, right?
The most frustrating thing to me on the earth right now, Stan, since I've returned, is that I know that I knew things up there and that I had answers that I'm not able to understand here. I had knowledge. See, I believe when we get to heaven, most people think that when you get to heaven, you're going to float around on a cloud, you're going to strum a harp, and I believe we're going to continue to be just as we are here up on this earth. We're going to continue. You may have a radio program up in heaven, Stan, interviewing Apostle Paul and, you know, the great saints of God that have gone on before. That would be exciting.
Let's go back to those streets.
Okay.
We've got plenty of time here. I want to do several broadcasts with you. Let's go back to those streets. Oh, man, we're about out of time here. Look over the time here. Okay, back to the streets. You say they're paved of gold. Is this?
Well, they're not paved.
They're solid gold. Okay,
they're solid, and they're crystal clear. The best way I can describe it that people would easily understand is like a plexiglass pulpit or something. You know, it has the width and the volume and the depth of it, but it's just solid gold, but you can see all the way through it. It's transparent.
Were people just walking on them, or, I mean, how did they move around there? I mean, surely they
didn't
have cars.
Well, in heaven,
I mean,
you can do that. You can walk around, or you can just instantly be somewhere. You can just
speed
move
of thought
quickly and have accessibility of no restrictions whatsoever. Like, I saw a man on the earth in a church service receive Jesus while I was in heaven. I saw a group of people that were sitting over on the hillside of glory, which I think depicts Hebrews chapter 12 and talks about that. And they were looking down and they were watching and observing transactions that were going on. And this man received Jesus as his Savior. And then these people started letting people know what had happened, that this man had accepted Jesus. Then they went quickly and found his mother. By that, I mean there was just no restrictions. They just flew through the air and found his
Gary,
mother that was already in heaven.
I got to get you to hold on. Oh. All right.